12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins joins us on the line this morning. Brad's going to talk to us a little bit more about a listening tour that he has coming up here within the district soon. And also we'll discuss a few other things that have been, lighting up his phone these days, as well as including his email box. And Brad, I appreciate the time very much. Thanks.
Good morning, Chris. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, Brad. So let's jump right in and talk about one of the bigger topics, I guess, right now. Certainly a lot of folks you're hearing from. You were telling me that your inbox is getting pretty jammed with folks regarding the issue of the governor's vaccine mandates. So I guess, first of all, what is your stance on this? What are you hearing from constituents and voters here in District 12 that are concerned about this? And what do you think is going to happen from here? It's sort of a three-part question. But, that's a good place for us to start.
Yeah, it's great questions. It's really difficult to say, this whole pandemic, this whole past year and a half, I'm not sure how long it's been now. There have been so many ups and downs, and I think people are just really emotionally spent on this issue. Obviously, this is very difficult. We have a lot of challenges, a lot of difficult circumstances with COVID, especially with the start of school. I'm very excited to have my two kids in middle school to send them off on the bus today. But there's no doubt, these are difficult times. And what's so challenging about this is it just sort of amplifies how divided our country is. And I'm not exactly sure how this pandemic got so politically divided in terms of people's assumptions for Republicans or Democrats and certain positions that they may or may not take. But it's been very interesting, and I think at this point in the pandemic, we're really not going to convince people one way or another, and it's almost like I want to encourage people not to try to keep convincing the other side, if you will, to take these positions. But, the governor, what I've been trying to do since we've received thousands of emails and calls to my office just in the past week or so since the governor's declarations about vaccine requirements and the masking requirement, is I've tried to walk people through the process of just how does this work? How did we get here? We have this Emergency Powers Act. The governor is able to declare an emergency. Then he's able to issue temporary orders in response to his declared emergencies. And then people ask, well, are these vaccines mandates enforceable? Are these mask mandates enforceable? They have the same effect of law? And I've just tried to kind of walk people through all that. And people say, well, why can't you call a special session? Well, there's processes for that too. And so I've just tried to do the best I can to kind of answer people's questions as best I can. And I think that's helped a little bit.
And Brad, I know that on at least one topic, not the mandates, but on another topic, the governor declined to actually call a special session recently, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has. And basically the process is in our Washington State Constitution, the governor can call a special session at any time. If he doesn't, the legislature does have the option of calling itself into a special session, which many of the Senate Republicans, including myself, have called for to help the governor on this issue, to kind of work through some of these things cooperatively. The governor has not called a special session, as you mentioned, and in order to call a special session of the legislators would have to reach a two-thirds approval of that process, and we just have not been able to get anywhere close to getting a two-thirds approval to call ourselves into special session. But, I have received a lot of questions myself. For example, people do ask me, are you vaccinated? And I'm proud to say, yes, I am fully vaccinated. I've been vaccinated for many months. My family is vaccinated, including those two kids in middle school now. They are fully vaccinated. So we're grateful for the vaccines. And I know there's a lot of confusion about people's positions, but I just wanted to make it clear, I am not anti-vaccination. But what I am concerned about is vaccine mandates by the governor for as a condition of employment for something that's such a new vaccine. So I've tried to explain my position on a lot of different things, and it would probably take a whole hour with you on the radio to kind of explain those all. And I think people are so frustrated on both sides of the issue that there's just a lot of division and a lot of emotion attached to this, especially as some of these mandates start to go into effect. And they do have the same effect as state law based on the Emergency Powers Act and the governor's proclamations.
I think it's a fair stance, Brad, and I think it's a pretty easily outlined one. I think what you just said is the summary of a lot of folks out there. I've maintained throughout the course of all of this, not divulging any personal details of my own, but I don't blame people at all, quite frankly, for not wanting to get vaccinated for a number of different reasons. So I can definitely see that side of the issue for sure. I think that what we're running into here, Brad, and what your concern is it just seems to be the word mandate. It seems to be these actions that are taken by government bodies that really, I don't know if they give the appearance of just taking away our choice. I imagine when you face termination for not actually getting a shot, getting an inoculation, that's definitely crimping off somebody's choice. And it seems to me like that's really what's at the heart of the issue more than anything throughout the course of the entirety of the pandemic. When you look at everything that people have groused or complained about or been up in arms about throughout the process, is just the fact that their rights to choose personally are getting circumvented too frequently and in a way that's too sweeping. And I guess that's what you're hearing from a lot of people as well.
That is. And the decisions that are being made for us are very far removed. So the governor is making these decisions for everybody throughout the state of Washington. And, I've always been an advocate of more local control. And I feel like if our cities and counties and health districts and school boards were able to process through some of these things and gather community input, engage in a dialogue and make a decision for their district, I honestly think some of these same decisions might be made, some of them might not, but I think there'd be a lot more community and statewide support. And for the people that say, oh, we don't need local control in these situations, well, then I sort of ask them a separate question. So, well, why leave it to the governors then? Why not just have President Biden mandate a vaccine for everybody? Or why not have President Biden issue a... Then it starts to become more like other countries, China and other things, where it's clear that we don't really have some of our freedoms. So, these are tough, tough issues. People are getting sick. We don't want kids to get sick. We do have this variant. But at the same time, I think we need to kind of be respectful of people's differing opinions. And I've tried to walk through that. I did issue a vaccine mandate survey to my district. And so far we've received over 6,000 responses to that, where I asked some pretty difficult and level-headed questions about it. And I've received a lot of good feedback, including many, many pages of comments in addition to the yes or no questions that I've asked. So I'll be sharing that, the results of that survey soon with the district.
Yeah, well, Brad, I think it was either Thomas Jefferson or Ben Franklin that said a nation that would choose safety over freedom deserves neither. And it seems to me like, again, without getting on a political soapbox of my own here too much, that that's what people are saying, is that they really would rather just have the choice than to have someone make choices on their behalf just so that they could stay safe. And I know that's difficult for some people to absorb. It's probably very difficult for those in positions of authority whose responsibility it is to keep people safe to absorb. But that really seems to be the message that's resonating throughout this district and a lot of places in Washington State. So
Yeah, and I felt somewhat confirmed when people said, hey, I'm not against the vaccine. I'm just against a mandate, or I'm not against masks. I'll wear one myself, they say, but I don't want to be forced to do them. I don't want to, all of our local control and local authorities to be essentially stripped away for what is seemingly a months or years long emergency, So it's been a really interesting process and a real trying time. And I just want to encourage everybody to stay positive. We're resilient and we can get through these sort of things. Let's try to lift each other up as much as we can, respect our differences and acknowledge people's concerns and their sincerely held beliefs either way, as we work through the remaining, hopefully, weeks and months of this pandemic.
Yeah, very well said, Brad. 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins with us today here on the COHO Morning Show. Brad, let's talk about your listening tour real quick before we wrap up, because I know you're eager to get out there again and do some listening, and you'll be doing that very soon, undoubtedly about this issue and a lot more with the different folks here in the region.
Yeah, so we're holding the fifth annual 12th District Listening Tour. It's something I started soon after I first got elected to the state Senate. We had expanded it to travel all throughout the 12th District. As you know, Chris, the 12th District is very large geographically. It reaches into four different counties and is a big portion of basically the entire north central Washington portion of the state. I've just been overwhelmed and just humbled by the level of interest in the listening tour. Basically, it's something I do every fall that helps prepare me for the session. I bring in the staff, and I do get a lot of good bill ideas. Some of the ideas from the listening tour have turned into legislation that the governor has signed or have been implemented into the budget as budget items. But for the most part, it's an opportunity for people throughout the district to provide me their thoughts and concerns and feedback personally, which I enjoy. This particular year, we're doing it virtual again. I had planned to do a hybrid approach, but given the mask mandates, you know, I want to be able to make sure I hear everybody and everything, and I just wanted to remove some of the awkwardness around the mask. So we're doing it virtual again this year. It's going to be held September 14th and 15th, and my office is taking appointments. We do them Zoom appointments with scheduled groups at scheduled times. So if anybody has an interest in participating, we would welcome your participation to contact my office and get scheduled for a meeting with me.
All right, very good, Brad. So again, we'll look forward to that coming up in the near future. And it sounds like you've had to pivot just a little bit yourself once again as far as that's concerned, but hopefully you'll be able to get, you know, back out there in full swing once again and do these listings tours you know, in person the way that that you really like to. As far as the legislative sessions are concerned, Brad, those are right around the bend. They'll be here before you know it. Any rumblings that you're hearing right now as far as major developments related to those coming up in 2022?
Well, I initially had heard the potential of having a fall special session in September to address transportation issues, but I think with the changes in the pandemic, as you mentioned, we're all having to evolve. I think it'd be hard-pressed for the legislature at this point to try to convene either in person or even to do something remotely. And frankly, I just don't know strategically that the governor's office even wants a special session for anything, transportation or otherwise, because it essentially gives all of the legislators around the state who may disagree with him on his approach to pandemic kind of more of a voice than what we have right now. So I guess we probably won't be doing the fall special session, but I usually do the listening tour every fall because it gives me time to get things put in place for the next session, which starts in January. And if we're writing bills and proposing budget items, we basically have to get those ready in October, November timeframe. So that's kind of what I'm gearing up for. And I think next January of 2022 will be the next legislative session. Whether it's in person or virtual again, I guess remains to be seen.
Yeah, we'll wait to see how that goes. And for what it's worth, I guess this is decent enough time to mention to everybody listening here at Coho that I did reach out to the governor just a couple of weeks ago and asked to interview him to talk about some of what we've talked about this morning, Brad, and he declined. So for what it's worth, again, I have been in touch at least with the governor's folks, and at this time he's not wanting to talk to us at least about these things. But you are definitely out there and wanting to reach people with the listening tour. So again, folks can find out more information on your website about that. Brad, I appreciate the time this morning. Stay well, and we'll look forward to our next chat.
Thanks so much, Chris. Likewise. Take care.